Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we are so blessed that you're listening to our program. We would love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. Pacific, at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California. If you're not able to join us in person, you can always join us on our live stream, which is broadcast at 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific. And you could go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship, click on the link for the live stream and join us. You can chat, send your prayer concerns, watch the complete worship service. If you're not able to do the live stream or in person, you can always go to our YouTube channel at the Seed Christian Fellowship and click on in our children's message, our weekly message, and our complete worship service. We've been working through different passages. We've just finished a great 6-7 week series on Ephesians. I want to talk a little bit about Martin Luther. On October 31st, 1517, a young Catholic priest by the name of Martin Luther nailed his 95 statements on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. He never planned to establish a new church. Martin Luther had a passion for God and God's Word and wanted that passion to reform the Catholic Church. The call of the Reformation was made up of five solas: sola scriptura, scripture alone; sola fidea, faith alone; sola gratia, grace alone; sola Christus, Christ alone; and sola de gloria, to God alone be the glory. Today, I'd like for us to take a brief look at the life and ministry of Martin Luther. One of the great discoveries of the Reformation, especially for Martin Luther, was the Word of God. Luther, in his preface to his 1539 works, wrote these words about Psalm 119. He said, in this psalm, Psalm 119, David always says that he will speak, think, talk, hear, read, day and night and constantly, but nothing else than God's word and commandments, for God wants to give you his spirit only through the external word. That was written by Martin Luther in 1539. My prayer is that we would listen, hear, speak, think, and talk every day and night what the Word of God teaches. Our Old Testament lesson comes from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, and our New Testament lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. As the writer of Hebrews states, may we consider Jesus when we hear these words. Before we go to God's living and transforming Word, let us come to the Lord in a moment of prayer. God of all power and glory, show us again your glory and grace as we open your living and life-transforming word. Help us to have a reformation in our lives each and every day as we open your word. Amen. If you have your Bible, we're going to be in Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. The psalmist says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me an understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Turn my heart to your decrees and not to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace that I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts. In your righteousness, give me life. And our New Testament reading comes from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, the book of Hebrews. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, The apostle and high priest of our confession was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belongs to hope. Martin Luther was born on November 10, 1483, in Esslingen, Germany, to a copper miner. His father wanted him to enter the legal profession, so Luther went to school to study. And in 1502, at the age of 19, he received his first bachelor's degree, ranking unimpressively 30th out of 57 in his class. And 3 years later, in January of 1505, he received his Master's of Arts at Erfurt and ranked second among the 17 candidates. In the summer of 1506, Martin Luther had a Damascus Road experience. And on July 2, 1506, Luther was caught in a terrible thunderstorm and was hurled to the ground by lightning. He feared for his soul and he cried out to God to save him. And while he was lying on the ground, he told God that if God saved him, well, he'd become a monk. 15 days later, to the regret of his father, he entered the gates of an Augustinian monastery. Luther was 23 when he became an Augustinian monk. A year later, on Easter Sunday, he was ordained to the priesthood, and on October 19, 1512, at the age of 28, Luther received his doctor's degree in theology and is given the chair of biblical theology at the University of Wittenberg, where he held that post the rest of his life. Wow. What can we learn from Martin Luther? Martin Luther, sola scriptura, sola fidea, sola gratia, sola Christus, and sola de gloria. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, to God be the glory. Amen. Alone. So on October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed 95 questions on the door of the Wittenberg Castle. This work of Luther started a reformation, a reforming of the church. Wouldn't it be great to be a part of another reformation in our world today? Wouldn't it be great to be a part of a reformation right here in our own church? Or where your church where you're listening? Wouldn't it be great to be a part of a reformation in our lives and in our homes? Lord God Almighty, I pray that today is the day that you begin to reform each one of us. What would it look like for each of us if we allowed the Word of God to reform us and transform us? Hope, forgiveness, love, grace, and mercy would abound. We can all stand for a reformation. We can all be reformed by the incarnate Word, the Word that becomes flesh. We can be reformed by the external Word and the indwelling Word. The incarnate Word is Christ made flesh. The external Word, well, that's the Scriptures, the Bible. Listen, if you don't have a Bible, I'll send you one. Just email me at Pastor Dave at the Seed Christian Fellowship. And then there's the indwelling Word, Christ, the living Word, the Holy Spirit living in us. The incarnate Word means this: Christ became flesh. In the Gospel of John, we are told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, John 1:1. The incarnation of Christ reformed the world. It started in the village of Bethlehem and Nazareth, and then it spread to Jerusalem, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. I recently read a story about a little tribe in Northeast India. The people in the Hamar tribe of Northeast India were once fierce headhunters, infamous for their vicious slayings. But in 1910, Welsh missionaries Watkin Roberts sent the Gospel of John to a Hamar chief. The chief invited Roberts to come and explain the scriptures, and within two generations, the entire Hamar tribe was evangelized. Soon after that, the British government expelled Roberts from India, but his efforts continued to produce fruit. Today, the Hamar tribe totals over 1 million people. 1 million people. Rochanga and Mawawi Pudate are a small part of that tribe, but they are continuing Robert's vision in a big way. In 1971, God gave that couple a dream to give a free copy of the New Testament to all the families of the world. They founded Bibles for the World Ministries and have since sent more than 16 million copies of the New Testament translated in the appropriate local languages into homes all across the globe. The living Word, Jesus Christ, becoming flesh and blood in the lives of people will always cause a reformation. Our New Testament reading from the book of Hebrews took me by surprise this past week as I was studying that passage. One word in verse 1 stopped me in my tracks. The word is consider. Consider. The writer tells us, therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. The term consider comes from the Greek word kataneo, which implies attention or continuous observation. The idea for us here is to put your mind on Jesus and let it remain there that you may understand who he is and what he wills. Put your attention and your continuous observation into Jesus. This is your homework. That's your so what for this week. Actually, it's really our homework until we get to heaven or for eternity. The question today is, am I looking for a reformation in my life? Do I want to be reformed? Then consider Jesus. Turn your eyes, your heart, your mind upon Jesus and remain there so that you may truly understand the incarnate Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. In so doing, a reformation will happen and we'll understand who Jesus is and what Jesus' will is for us. The incarnate Word, the living Jesus, made flesh and dwelling among us. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that you listen, and we're celebrating, I think seven years here on the radio station, 7 years of Seeds of Faith. If you have any special prayer concerns, you can email me at PastorDave@TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. I'll put them on our prayer chain, or you can go to our website at www.TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, and our prayer team will pray for you. Consider. Consider means to look intently. Are you considering Jesus? So we looked at the incarnate Word. Let's talk about briefly about the external Word. In 1539, commenting on Psalm 119, Luther said, in this psalm, David always says that he will speak, think, talk, hear, read, day and night, and constantly about nothing else than God's word and commandments, for God wants to give you his spirit only through the external word. This phrase is extremely important. The external word is the Bible, our scriptures, and the saving, sanctifying, illuminating spirit of God comes to us through the external word. Luther calls it the external word to emphasize that it is objective, it's fixed, it's outside ourselves, it's unchanging. It is external like God. You can take it or leave it, but you cannot make it other than what it is. The Bible is a book of fixed letters, words, and sentences. Take it or leave it. It's up to you. But I'm telling you, you can't change it. Luther said with resounding forcefulness in 1545, the year before he died, this is what he said. This is what a quote, let the man who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. So I'll make it modern today. Let the person who would hear God speak read Holy Scripture. Are you looking for a reformation in your life? Do you want to hear God speak to you? I have so many people I deal with pastorally in the church and the different ministries, and they say, I just don't hear God speaking. Well, are you reading his word? Do you want to hear God speak? Luther has the answer for us. read the Holy Scriptures. Luther was driven by a passion for exaltation of God and the Word. In one of his prayers, he wrote these words, quote, "Dear Lord God, I want to preach so that you may be glorified. I want to speak of you, praise your name. Although I probably cannot make it turn out well, won't you make it turn out well? Amen." Luther was a professor, but he was also a preacher. In the church that he served in Wittenberg, they had no church programs. They only had worship and preaching. On Sundays, they had three worship services, the 5 a.m. worship service with a sermon on the epistles, the 10 a.m. worship with a sermon on the gospels, and the afternoon message on the Old Testament. Monday and Tuesday sermons were on the catechisms. Wednesdays were on Matthew. Thursdays and Fridays on the apostles' letters, and Saturday on John. Between 1510 and 1546, Luther preached approximately 3,000 sermons in 36 years. In 1528 alone, he preached almost 200 sermons. Yet in the midst of all of his teaching and preaching, he committed himself to read through the Bible twice every year. In 1533, Luther penned these words, quote, "For a number of years, I have been annually reading through the Bible twice. If the Bible were a large, mighty tree and all its words were little branches, I have tapped at all the branches, eager to know what was there and what it had to offer." If the external word was a tree with many branches, how many have you tapped upon? I would encourage you to read through the Bible this year. I have a friend that listens to the Bible in his car as he's driving to work, and another friend who listens to the Bible as she gets ready in the morning. If you're not sure where to start, there are all kinds of reading plans. Let me know and I'll give you one. The external word, the scriptures, the Holy Bible, will reform your life. So you have the incarnate word, Jesus. You have the external word, the Bible, the indwelling word. Let's just talk briefly for a moment, the indwelling word. One of my dreams has been that I'd be part of a revival, that I'd be able to see a reformation. My greatest joy in life is to see someone's life transformed by the love of Christ. One of my favorite scripture verses comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. Paul puts it this way, to them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory, of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you? That's the hope of glory? Maybe you should look in the mirror. Maybe I should look in the mirror. Christ in you, the hope of glory? The writer of Hebrews says, we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belongs to our hope. Have you ever considered that you are God's house? It is Christ in you that is the hope of glory. If a reformation is going to take place in our lives, it first comes by considering the incarnate word. If a reformation is going to take place in our church and in our homes, our schools, and places of business, it will happen because we, as followers of the incarnate word, are spending time in the external word. When we take the incarnate word and the external word, a huge reformation begins in us. The indwelling word begins to shape and mold us, changing us from the inside out. Psalm 1 challenges us to be like a tree planted by a river, letting the incarnate and external word become the branches of our life, indwelling us with the living word, Jesus Christ. Jack's dad, Daddy-O, came to live with us over 22 months ago after his wife of 70 years passed away. Dad had Alzheimer's, hypertension, and emphysema, yet he was the kindest, most gentlest person that I've known. There came a time a few months back when Dad required more than we could give him. He needed 24-hour care. We needed to sleep without worrying. We placed Dad in a memory care home about a half a mile from our home. We loved it. He loved it. Every day he would say, "I love my new home." We called him Candy Andy because while he loved candy, and he had jars set out with all kinds of candy, peppermints, M&Ms, Mr. Good bars, when Dad came to live with us, he would say, "I've never felt so much love before." He lived with the seven of us in our home, and he would tell us, that all the time he would tell us, "Dad, we love you." And he goes, "I've never felt so much love before." Dad accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord, and he became a big fan of forgiveness. We have a house full of scripture verses, and he and I would talk every day, and I'd share something I'd read, and he'd go, "I'll be darned," he said. Why do you tell me that? Because slowly and surely he was learning and how sweet the living word changed my dad, reformed by the living word. Dad had always been afraid of dying, 89 years worth afraid of dying. But this past week, he bravely and fearlessly faced death, reformed by the living word, Christ incarnate. So what? What do we do with these ancient words that were that are given to us here in 2022? The psalmist says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will observe it to the end. Give me understanding, that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in a path of your commandments, for I delight in you. Turn my heart to your decrees, and not be to selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at vanities. Give me life in your ways. Confirm to your servant your promise, which is for those who fear you. Turn away the disgrace I dread, for your ordinances are good. See, I have longed for your precepts, and in your righteousness give me life." Martin Luther once said, "Miracles take place not because they are performed, but because they are believed." Simon Lake believed in the possibilities of a submarine long before it was perfected. The Wright brothers believed in air transportation years before their daring flight at Kitty Hawk, North Carolina. Is there a miracle in your heart today? Do you believe it could happen? Do you believe that a reformation can take place in your heart and your life? Dale Carnegie wrote of an interviewing Henry Ford when Ford was 78 years of age. He had expected to find a gaunt, nervous old man. When asked if he worried, Ford replied, "No, I believe God is managing affairs and he doesn't need any advice from me. With God in charge, I believe that everything will work out for the best in the end. So what is there to worry about?" Boy, we should take that comment today. Do you have a believing heart for a reformation? Billy Graham, in August of 1949, was filled with doubts and about everything. And when he wrote in his book, "When I stood to preach and make a statement, I would say to myself, I wonder if that is a truth. I wonder if I can really say that sincerely. My ministry had gone. I then took my Bible up under the high Sierra Nevada mountains in California. I opened it and got on my knees and I pled, 'Father, I cannot understand many things in this book. I cannot come intellectually all the way, but I accept it by faith to be authoritative, the inspired word of the living God.'" Can you believe that? Billy Graham pled with God to make him believe God's word. Look what happened during the next 60 years of his life. Do you have a believing heart? Do you want a reformation today? I do. That's my prayer. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, help us to have a believing heart. Let us believe that you're a God of miracles. We pray for the incarnate word to come and dwell in our hearts. We pray for the external word to be alive and redemptive. We pray for the indwelling word to fill us with holy boldness to be the people of God that you call us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to know, God loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day. Staying in the Word. God bless you.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theSeedChristianFellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, TheSeedChristianFellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.